This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2023, held at Faith Builders on August 1-4.
And get started. Father in heaven, thanks that we can be together. Thank you so much for you, Father, and for Christ. Thank you for your church, and thank you for the Anabaptist, and thank you for our schools. Would you bless us as we learn together? Would you please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight? And would you please help us to do all things as unto you? And would you help us to be a blessing and encouragement to the church? I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I made it a habit a few years back. Instead of making like a special secret handout for the audience, I just give a sanitized version of my outline, the personal one. And today, I hope that means that for all the names of naughty parents and students that I put in mine, I think I took them out of y'all's. So anyways, that's like bad. And so naughty students, naughty parents, naughty teachers, I'm trying to make a little bit of light on a kind of a negative subject, but maybe it doesn't have to be negative. We have certain areas of brilliance, and some people are brilliant, I guess, because they studied or because they think they're brilliant. I was there in my 30s. I knew so much about so many things, including students and parents, and getting along with people in my 30s, and then I lost it all somehow. And so now I really am brilliant at these things because I've messed up so many times, and that makes you really smart. It really does. And I think it's a nicer way to think that you're brilliant because of all your failures rather than you're just a genius. And so, in case you're going to try to figure out who I'm talking about, I just want to give you a little background on where we've been and what we've done, and I don't think that you will be right on it. So my name is Jeff Swanson. I teach at Terry Hill Mennonite High School and Shalom Elementary School. It's a K-8 school. I teach full-time music. In the mornings, I have been teaching music at Shalom to the K-8 graders. And yes, I love teaching kindergarten music. They learn what I want them to do at Terry Hill very well and very effectively. And then after lunch, I've been going to Terry Hill, which is a separate school, but it's across the parking lot. And they are sort of related, but they're not. And I teach music there as well. And I absolutely love my job. I love teaching music to everyone. I want to teach every person in Lancaster County. And I really actually don't say that in jest. To answer the questions that you have for me, I am 53 years old, and I do not feel a day older than 53. Yeah, that's not what you thought I was going to say, is it? And remember, I am 5'3", so you can let that rest in your mind. And I am from a non-Mennonite background, however that works into it. I just think sometimes people are wondering, Swanson, maybe that's why. Anyways, so these stories and things that I'm going to talk about are from experience, and I just want you to know that since 1997, I have worked with homeschoolers, homeschool classes. I've taught in the public school. I've taught in the Baptist school. I've taught in a Mennonite church school of 20 people or so. I have taught in the BC school, also a church school. I have taught in a charity church school, which there aren't a lot of those. And I was privileged to get to teach in one of those. And I have taught in a community Mennonite school, elementary school, which had 180 or so students. And also in a Mennonite high school, community school, which has averages about 100 students. And so, and I've also taught the Amish. I love the Amish and I love their singing schools. And so if you think I know who Jeff's talking about now, just think. It's been a long time before a lot of y'all were even alive that these things were going around. So oftentimes when speakers are asked to present, sometimes they'll just be given a subject and the speaker's expected to study up on it and say intelligent, helpful things. And sometimes it really is an experiential thing. I've thought about this for a long time. We humans were complicated. Oftentimes our lives and our outputs socially are based inadvertently on hurts that we've had in life and bad experiences and good. And, we should love one another and work together. So I just have a little opening question, and I think this, I hope, flavors what I do and what you do. What do you really think, biblically speaking, what Christ says, what do you think we were created for? Y'all are afraid to answer. Anybody? What was that? And that would be the one scripture that's the closest, and that would be from Isaiah. I think possibly, and I think this is within that, that God has created us to love. I know we would usually say he's created us to worship, even though it actually doesn't say it in those words. It does say in Isaiah, the one place he's created us to glorify his name. It was easy for Christ. What did he say? What are the two most important commandments? Love God and to love one another. And I think that really trumps everything he wants us to do. When the Israelites are in trouble, the first thing he wants them to do is not restore the worship. He wants them to go be kind to their brothers and sisters and restore relationships. So keep that in mind. All right. So four things I thought about. I could almost end with this, but I want you to think about these things and me to think about these things as we talk. Is love people, listen, which is hard since we're teachers and we know so much about everything, structure, and direct communication. I've had a little journey with personally and passive-aggressive behavior, and communicating directly is such a wonderful thing, and it's hard because we exist in close-knit communities and we don't want to hurt people's feelings oftentimes. And I know we do hurt people's feelings sometimes. So, all right. We are going to first start with naughty students. Remember, if you read the introduction that was in the thingy that y'all had sent to you last night, why I think I'm pretty good at this is because I've been a naughty student. That's so funny to say. And maybe I still am. And I've been a naughty parent. And that doesn't mean that to my children, in context, it's parents that approach teachers and schools in a naughty way. And I have been a naughty teacher as well. That doesn't mean a horrible, mean person. I just think sometimes that we, you know how we are as humans. So, students, a few groundbreaking things to consider. Maybe they're not for y'all, but they are for me. Never tell a human what they are thinking. So often we read people's minds. And remember, only God can read minds. I think so often we think we can read people's motives. It's really hurtful when you are dealing with adults, and it's really hurtful with students. A lot of these things I'm sharing with you are actually not based on me being a teacher, but me being a parent. My baby just graduated a year ago, and so I've had quite a few children. I've had five. I have five. And, you know, you hear how they feel. Based on communications with others. When Cain was sinning with his sin, God knew what his motive was, did he not? But he didn't say, Cain, I know what your problem is, and this is why you're doing that. What did he do? He said, why do you feel like this about the offerings? Why do you think this happened? Why are you upset? God knew. That is such good teaching. He let Cain say what was going to happen. Again, he knew everything. So if God does it, I think it's so good if there's a problem with the student to say, can you tell me what's going on? So number two, under a few groundbreaking things to consider, always ask students if you think they're being naughty. I mean, if they just stand up and say something rude to you, okay, obviously that's a problem. Sometimes sensitive teachers or preachers, they're watching everybody. I'm watching y'all right now and seeing, okay, that one's not with me, I'm not sure. That one's nodding their head the whole time. And sometimes we're like, that one hates me. When I teach, I smile, and I think I'm funny, so I say things that I think are funny. I'm passionate about teaching. I absolutely love it. As soon as I'm done, I'm an introvert, and so I have a horrible resting face. It's horrible. Dina will sometimes be in church, and she'll be like, you have your face, your body language, and I'll be like, and so people will meet me in my introverted non-teaching modes and be like, is he mad? Is he kind of scary? I go extrovert all day long when I teach, and I'm exhausted at the end of the day. So I have people in Walmart that'll be like, can you smile? I'm like, do you realize what you're saying to me? So I'm like ugly or something? Or I mean, you realize how that comes across. But you know what? A wise person would say to somebody like me in that situation, do you realize how you're coming across? It looks like you're miserable. I had a student in choir class. Of course, that's what I teach. And she looked like she was absolutely miserable. And so usually think either they don't like singing or they don't like me or both. So I thought, you know what? I kind of want to just come down on her and say, fix your attitude. I went up and I said, you're coming across like this. And her countenance dropped and she said, I was scowling, wasn't I? And I was like, yeah, you were scowling. And she says, I have a horrible scowling face. I love singing. And you know what? The subject was over. I kind of wanted to go after. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you're just ready to take him down. You don't like my class? Oh, really? And so that blessed me. And you know what? The student, I shouldn't tell you how old they are now. Anyways, every time the scowl comes across now, I think, you know what? I'm going to trust her. And just has a weird resting face. Okay. Groundbreaking thought number three, say nice things all the time to all of your students. This whole problem we have with complimenting people because we might make them proud, I just think unless you do it in a strange way and tell them that they're the greatest human being, greatest Mennonite volleyball player in the world or whatever, I think it's going to build them up. We need to be a blessing, speak blessings to all of our students all the time. Don't ruin your ratio of blessings and not blessings with your students by certain students. Every time you see them, it's like, remember this. Remember what we talked about? Can you work on that today? Every time. The students do realize those things, and it really hurts them. I try to say things sweet to my students all the time. I'm just telling you, I like shoes, okay? I like Vans, and I like dad shoes now. But anyways, at Shalom, where I teach, there's a school uniform. There's not a lot I can say. So I will just tell students, yeah, I like those shoes. You know what? The faces light up. And then it gets to where if they get new shoes, am I making them covetous? I don't know. But you know what? I want to be a light and a blessing to those students every day at school so that that's there to light up their heart. You know, little guys will come up to me, and they'll just come up to me and show the shoes to me. And I'm like, what are they doing? What are they doing? What am I saying? Oh, your shoes. Those are great, buddy. You know what? It makes their days. You know what? Most little girls aren't going to have two braids when they're 17 years old. I'll say, you got two braids today. That looks nice. And you know what? They might not say thank you, but they walk away and they're like, Be a blessing. And that way, when you need to say, I need to talk to you, it's sandwich. I don't like the sandwich method, which when you got to say something to somebody, say one thing nice to them, you know, go in for the kill, and then say something else nice. Once somebody that never talks to me and never says anything is like, I got to talk to you. I'm like, okay. And they're like, you know, you're having a great day. You know, you're doing good teaching. I'm just like, just slay me. Okay, I know where we're going with that. But you know what? If your relationship with them is cushioned with blessings, it's going to feel much better. Still hard. Direct communication trumps all. I can be very cryptic in my speech, even with my teasing, which I do to people that I'm comfortable with. Cryptic meaning not saying exactly what I want, and I kind of enjoy that. I can also be cryptic when I don't want to say, can you just be quiet or say it in private? I like to say, over here, which really is a teaching technique, somebody's talking, could you please be quiet, or having this attitude. Some people pick on it directly, and a lot of people don't. And you end up with problems with your relationship and then with continuing to misbehave because you weren't direct. Is it hard to be direct with people that you're going to go to church with and work for? It is. But in the end, there's such blessings, even if it's a wound instead of a kiss. All right, structure. I spent some time last week with some people talking about Beachy Amish people versus Mennonites and Old Order Mennonites. And you know what? We need each other so much. Are the Mennonites pretty structured? Oh yeah, we are. Is it really a beautiful thing? Yes, it is. Are the Amish and the Beachy Amish very relational and very community oriented? Yes, they are. And it's a beautiful thing. And we just need both. When we're talking in school, I just want to emphasize that a kind yet consistent structure can help so many problems. If you're a teacher that has no structure and you have to say, you be quiet, can you be quiet again? Shh. I try to never say shh to my students. It's so fatiguing, especially long term. I've had friends, we'd meet like once a year, a music teacher, and my friend would say, I'm so tired, they won't quit talking. And I said, just make a rule. There we go, structure, a rule, and just say you can't talk for the first 20 minutes of class, and then he's up. 2 years later, I want to quit. I love my job, but I can't stand it. They talk too much. All it would take to help this naughtiness is just make the rule, and then if they break it, there's some consequence or something, and that's it. You're not mad. And so I just really want to encourage that. I love relational. I love my students. I love the kindergartners, and I love the 12th graders. I love the 22-year-old Amish in their singing. I love the people in the youth choirs. I just love them. I had a class once, it was eighth grade class, and they were naughty for their homeroom teacher. They were naughty for the seventh graders. They were naughty for me. I mean, it was bad and it was hard. And I had to decide for the rest of this year, for the next 6 months, we are a couple months into it, I'm gonna have to go more structure than relationship. And it was horrible for me. It was hard. I'm not like that. I love my students. I want to talk to them and bless them. It just couldn't work because that's where they were. In the end of the year, I had a really good relationship with them. There are other teachers that weren't sure what to do and went a little more relational. It went kind of bad. Does that make sense? Can you believe me on that just a little bit? And you know what? They graduated from eighth grade and went to ninth grade, and it was fine. That group just needed a little bit more of, I love you, but we're just going to have to do what you're asked. So hide that in your heart. And remember, I love my students. I really do. I want them to like me. But in the end, the importance is how we're training them and to do what's right. Bullying, I'm just saying, there's no room for this. Obviously, we can never get angry. If anything upsets me, it would be that. I can't stand it. I think it's so mean. And that stays with adults, forget school students, for the rest of their lives. Sometimes it turns into compassion, and sometimes I think it turns into something else bad. When it happens, it really needs to be dealt with. And I mean, see what I put there? No matter who the parents are, what their financial status is in regards to the school, it can't happen. It's mean, it's unbiblical. Do you know there's only one time where it says Jesus and anger? He never got angry, and the Bible never says he got angry when he cleansed the temple at the beginning and ending of his ministry. It doesn't say he got angry, does it? It just says he did what he did. The only time it ever says he looked on them with anger is when the Pharisees were judging him, waiting for him to heal somebody on the Sabbath. They didn't want him to heal and have compassion and love this man on the Sabbath. And it said he looked on them with anger. Only time. So I'm not saying to get mad all the time if you think they're bullying. That pulls my strings, okay? Love your students and protect them. That should be dealt with the student quickly. And then it should go to the principal and the school board quickly. I've had one family, remember, I've been teaching since 1997. And historically, it was accepted that the grandfather, the dad, and the children were bullies. They were just mean. In our schools, we typically don't have it get very physical. Sometimes it does, and it's just unacceptable. We so much, when we do something wrong to someone, want to just say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? I'll do better and go on. And then we're expected, biblically and culturally, to say, I forgive you. It stays with children for years when they get picked on. So we need to be so careful. And after we think it's done, they almost need to be, I don't want to say counseled, but just checked in to say, are you okay? So just keep that in mind. It's horrible. All right. E, hurting students can be very naughty. Golden rule, treat very bad students kindly, because you don't know why they're bad. They're not all bullies. I think usually they're not. And I've experienced in my teaching, in the end, the reason students were being naughty, it was just an outplay of hurt. So again, if something's going wrong repeatedly, instead of getting mad and taking them down, it's a blessing just to say, is something wrong and can you tell me? Don't pry like you're looking for gossip, and just say, I do care. You're really doing bad things. What's the matter? And if they could get that hurt out, that could be a huge blessing. Number two there, I said, this is a great place to start with any student. Have you been hurt? I say that. I say to my students when they're walking around moping, are you sick or have you been hurt? Because I do want to know pretty quick if something little was said to them, and if I can go to that other student and say, you can't ever do that again. So, you know, we need to care for the students. You do have time in the day to care for your students. All right. The ridiculously immature student. Me and my band director. Hi. I'm the ridiculously immature teacher. Student. I said it on purpose. I just used to think I'm funny. I still think I'm funny, actually. I can tell jokes and nobody laughs, and I just think that's even funnier. And so even if they're not trying to laugh or whatever, I don't know. And So in high school, I was in the school band, and I had a friend, his name was Eric Ward, and we just thought we were funny. I loved my teachers in the public school. I loved the bad teachers, the misbehaving teachers. I love my teachers in college. I just love them. I think it was because I was going to be a teacher. So I was not doing this to be disrespectful. So one time we were in band class, supposed to be pretty serious, and my friend and I, we were about 15 or 16, and we thought, wouldn't it be funny if we were in band class and we both have like a barber chair and you could like do the hydraulics and we could be, I know y'all are not laughing, and we could be like way up ahead and we were like thinking we could be like 15 feet above the band on hydraulics. Keep in mind, we were like 15 and we were laughing and laughing. So y'all are like, that's not even funny. I know, but we were just like, that's like awesome. And to have a barber chair. And so at some point around that time, my band director, who actually teaches at Westchester University, which is about an hour from where I live, he asked us to meet him during a class sometime, him and us. And he said, you know, I think both of y'all two could be great musicians. You've just got to lose this silliness. And what I've learned is silly students are good. The humor is so good for us. They need to learn there's a time to be funny and that there's a time when it's just not appropriate. I still sing in a Mennonite choir, and I just realized at my age, you can time those jokes. I mean, it needs to be like once an hour or something, but you just can't always be, you know, letting your mind go with what you think is funny. And that's just a blessing, because I think oftentimes those are funny students, and we think we need them. They don't need to be shut down and made feel stupid or like they're just bad. They just need to be said, you're not going to reach your potential. I've had that in my teaching experience, and you know what's sad? I've seen it go through senior year and never get taken care of. And again, I didn't want them to lay down the silliness. I wanted them to time it and be appropriate, and it affected, to be honest, how one student for sure sang. Wonderful, awesome voice. It was a guy, and I think that immaturity tendency really hurt. Now it's hard on me. It's nice to have wonderful girl singers. It's really nice to have awesome guy tenor singers. And so that was a little sad. Children whose parents tell them to be naughty. You know, there's darkness in the world, and there's hurt, and I have had this happen. I was in a church situation, and I said, we have a choir program. This has nothing to do with conservative or liberal. I want you to look good. Ladies, whatever dresses, fabric they picked, guys, white shirts, black pants, black belts, black socks, and black shoes. All right? I'm not trying to make you anything you're not. It's just, this is my background. We just match. So two boys came to the program, and they had white socks on. Is that a sin? No. But they clearly heard me say not to. And so I just went up to him and I said, okay, in a way, this isn't a big deal, but you did exactly what I asked you not to. And this was an older, big boy. And he said, Mr. Swanson, if it would have been up to me, I would have done it. My dad said, you are not going to do it. He said, you're going to wear white socks. So I was like, this is psycho. I mean, I really thought that. And so I thought, okay, I'll talk to dad. And so I think y'all would understand this more than I would. I just said, he disobeyed, and he said, you told him to do it. And the dad said something about, I kid you not, black socks, black shoes, black hose, black cars. And he was kind of mumbling. It was kind of stream of consciousness. And I thought, this is really weird. And I kind of got it. For some reason, which we'll talk about it a little later, he hated church structure. He hated it. I added structure by saying, this is what you're going to wear to sing for 30 minutes. And I asked one of the school board guys later, I said, what on earth was that? And he said, he's telling you, I'm not going to do what you ask. Think about that. The boy said, almost in tears, I would have done it. My dad said to disobey. You know, how do you deal with that? I don't have all the answers. I'm kind of here to share some stories. It was very, very awkward, and it was very, very sad. And you know that kind of followed the boys. I'm pretty sure that one that I talked to is no longer with the Anabaptist. So how do you deal with that? I mean, it's prayer. It's how do you counsel a person who carries that kind of baggage? Anyways, I still ask my students to wear black socks. Anyways, all right. I didn't put this in here. This was the last night when I tried to wait till the last minute to hit print. Students who are being traumatized. So again, we need to ask the students what's going on. That shows that you love them, just like God and Cain. This is a story I had when I was in college studying education. So there's a student, inner city student being horrible, really bad, really, really bad. The teacher, good teacher, says, what's going on? The child was living in a house that had a drug bust. Do you know what happens when there's a drug bust in a house? Every single human being in the house has to be, how do you want to say it? Shut down so that they can't shoot anybody with a gun. Children can shoot people with guns, so every child, I mean, they had to hold them down until they made sure the house was secure. Don't you think that would traumatize you? Maybe you wouldn't go. So I realize we probably don't have that situation in our circles, but still, family life can be hard, and people can carry those things to school. If nothing else you get out of this, ask what's going on, and can you help? Show a little bit of loving kindness there. The beauty of structure. It is so easy to say, with all your good and naughty students, these are the rules, and you just can't break them. I realize in some people that means you're going to have this 55 rules or whatever. The public school people in the inner city will do that, and actually the inner city children love that. Go figure that. So I had a rule in one of my choirs once, and it was that you couldn't talk for this amount of time. The students were kind of used to talking before I came, and so I wanted to sing. And so I said, if you talk, I don't even remember what the punishment, oh, it was a dock in their grade. I learned that even high school boys, that all they care about is sports and cars. For some reason, they don't like it when their grade goes down. And if they talked once a week, I'd take 20 points off their weekly grade. And if they talk twice a week, they're down to a 60. Boys do care about that. And I always thought if the parents said, how can you do that? I'm gonna be like, they get 100 if they just don't talk. That's like an easy 100. Does that make sense? So some of you are like, so anyway, so I had this girl. She is and was wonderful. She became a teacher, and she was one of the most supportive people I had. It's hard, but she talked, and I just said, blah, blah, blah. We won't say her name. You talked, and you know, you're going to get docked. I tend to apologize to my students when I discipline them, to be honest. And I just said, I'm so sorry I had to do that. And she wouldn't even let me finish. She said, Mr. Swanson, you made a principal. Okay, we can't talk during this time, and I broke it. And so I had this consequence, I get it. It really is nice if you love them, and there's just these things there. So, all right, if you have ever offended a child, even if they were naughty, it was talked about a little bit this morning, and I appreciate that, you make it right. I personally, even though biblically all we owe people when we offend them is, I'm sorry, I'll try to do better, I get that, and then you're done. Sometimes I don't feel like it's enough. If you've hurt a child, even if they were naughtier than you, even if they were bad, I feel like we should go back later and say, are we okay? I'm really sorry I did that and really mean it. So I will tell you a story. I had a student, and he was just a naughty little boy, and he, we found his name written in the textbooks in pen, in a few textbooks, and obviously it's him, it's his name, he's kind of naughty. So we told his dad, I'm sure he got spanked. He kept doing it, and I'm sure he got spanked more. His dad said, I'm taking care of this, okay? And we're like, thank you so much for taking care of this. I don't remember what happened, but we eventually, it's always Dina, my wife, she found out it was a little girl, and she had been writing his name in other textbooks, and I felt horrible. But you know what? He was in first grade. I'm an adult. Do I really need to make this right? I mean, he's just a first grader. I felt horrible. And I went up to him and I said, we found out that you didn't do it. And I knew he got spanked. His dad was a beast. He's a big guy. And I said, I am so sorry that that happened. I am so sorry. And you know what he said? You know what Jesus says about children? He looked at me and went, totally forgiven. It's nothing. And I mean, I'm just crying. And so we need to go back and make things right if we hurt them, even if it's because we were disappointed in them for messing up. You don't be the one to create a hurting person, which is the next one. Do not create a bad student. Students sometimes feel like they're targeted, and sometimes it feels good to target one. Hopefully we punish them and they're kind of sacrificed for everybody else, and everybody else will be scared. I had a student once that said, I feel like I'm being made to be the bad person, and I think it's starting to kind of work. I'm not meaning to be as bad as I'm, and this wasn't me that was making them feel like that. Be very, very careful. Even if they are really naughty, do not create a horrible, rebellious person. Does that make sense? Maybe they are, maybe they don't realize it. Maybe you can say it appears like you're very rebellious by the things that you're doing. Let's work on it. You don't be the one to make somebody that's wildly rebellious. And then is it your fault that they left the Mennonites? I don't want it to be me. And while we're on that, I believe that the Anabaptist way, out of all my experience, is the best thing I've ever seen, at least in the United States. I don't know what they do in China. I don't know what they do in persecuted churches in Africa. I don't want to be the one that makes them leave. All right. Parents, million-dollar hints. Compliment children to their parents regularly. You need to go out to the parking lot. I know you're busy. Go out to that parking lot after school, before school, and say something nice about these children. If they're horrible children, the one day they smile at you or say, thank you, yes, ma'am, or whatever, run to the car and say, your children's awesome today. You have to do this. People know if you love their children or not, and sometimes it's hard, and I know it's hard if a child is bad every day and you have to punish them. We know, if you like our children or not, or if they're on your bad list, and we don't always hide our feelings as much as we think now, do we? You know? And so I'm just saying, tell people how good their children are all the time. It really makes a huge difference. I learned that from somebody that worked in an inner city school. They would go out all the time and tell the mom. African-American family, of the African-American culture, and how great the children was. She was so proud, very proud that her child was doing so well. Child really messed up once, and after all these good things the teacher said, went up to the mom and said, this one thing happened, can you help me? And she said, it's taken care of, that's it. No more from you, I got this. Do you see what I'm saying? Get the parent support. If the first day you go out and tell them how horrible their child is, or say nothing. So it works that may be out of your box, but it's a good box to be out of. You know what I'm saying? Be a blessing. All right, $2 million hint. Find an administrator that reads his people well. I had an administrator once. He's still a teacher, no longer administrator. And I could have a parent call me up or message me kind of angry and be like, what do I do? And he knew his people so well in the community that he'd say, this is what they're thinking. Wait, you're not supposed to say that. Well, anyways, and respond like this every single time. It was 100%. And those people are rare. One time somebody was very concerned with something I said, and I think I was out of place the way I presented what I said to this child. And my administrator said, that dad is a counselor. And he comes at everything for it. He's going to come at you very nice and gentle. I want to make sure everybody's okay. And that the relationship's good, don't worry about that. And it was spot on. So if you're an administrator and you have that gift, you are worth much. We need those kind of people that read people well. Can they read minds? No, but some people are a little bit better and they know their people at responding in these things. All right, parents love their children. We love our children, bad parent here. And sometimes we love them so much that it's hard to say this as a teacher, it's hard not to defend them, even when we're pretty sure they're wrong. We want to feel like they're being picked on. What about everybody else? Which if you sin, irregardless, which irregardless is a word in the dictionary, irregardless, then it's still wrong. You know, your students, your 17-year-old boy, that's bad, or your 16-year-old coolest Mennonite girl in the world. One of my friends says, Mennonite girl has a volleyball in one hand and the cell phone. Like, you're gonna mess with me? That parent's 3-year-old, that's when you talk to dad, he's not seeing this girl that plays volleyball with her cell phone. He's seeing his 3-year-old girl that you're messing with, okay? Is he a little off? Was I a little off? Yeah. And this big 17-year-old boy that just has a horrible attitude and goes like this the whole day, he sees his firstborn son. All right, holding him. Are we a little off perspective? Yep, but we just love our children. So give grace to parents, and when they're in trouble, if you could approach it with this thing that it's their baby, it's their 3-year-old. To some of you that are younger, that just might sound stupid, but you know, somebody's messing with their baby who's a 6'3" beast, okay, who it has an attitude problem. it really is worth a lot. You can't come between them. I've sometimes been like, you know, your son's kind of doing this, yeah, whatever, and the dad's like, no, that's my boy or whatever. So you cannot and you should not ever try to come between a parent and their children or a child and their parent. We'll leave that way. One of the best things I've ever found, besides the parking lot thing, is if a child is being naughty, ask the parent what they suggest. It changes the conversation completely. Because if you're like, your child's bad, you need to fix this, and this has got to stop. I mean, the most non-resistant dad is going to be like, really? Are you ready to go? Is that what you mean? Say, this is happening and this is happening. Can you tell me what to do? And some parents will be like, right then they'll say, they're doing it at home now too. If you don't back him into a corner, oftentimes they say, I'm dealing with that at home too. It's interesting that you say that. And then they'll just ask you right back, what do you suggest? But the relationship's there. Do you see what I'm saying? And sometimes they'll tell you what to do, or sometimes they'll say, I'll take care of it. You know, like I said, it's going on at home. So open the door to work with the parents. Again, you're not going to come between them. All right, number three. We parents are programmed to protect our children and often react when we feel they are being threatened or treated unfairly. I've just seen it so often from the best of parents and in my own life. As soon as something happens, even when your child's bad, you feel, you just pity them. Isn't that awful? We shouldn't pity them when they're bad. And you just want to defend them. So tread softly, and I know it's scary. I mean, there's been a good part of my career where I just thought, if it's really not disturbing class, I don't want to tell the parents. You know, lots of y'all teach in church schools where when there's a problem with the child, you're going to see them all on Sunday morning, and they're still going to look at you and go, and that's hard. So, but I think in the end, we want to be a blessing, which means saying your child did this. So, okay. Next page, letter D. It is funny that my children are bad. I don't have any suggestions for this much. I do want to share with you real life. So I have a situation with sweet, probably some of the most supportive parents, you know, as far as if there's a class party, they're there, they do it. If there's anything needed, they do it. They are so helpful and happy people. And some of their children are naughty and they think it's funny. And so it's really hard because it's one thing if the parent gets mad at you. That's kind of normal. And it's another thing if the parent's like, I'll take care of it. I got you. And then the other thing is this. One time I went up to said dad and I said, your boys were great today. It was a great day. And he went, oh, really? And I'm like, that's the weirdest response I have ever heard. I thought he would say, I was doing the parking lot thing. He was in the parking lot and he just laughed at me. And I was like, that's really weird. And then I got it. We just realized after a while that they just thought it was funny. They weren't horribly rebellious, but I mean, it was the naughty side of naughty. Does that make sense? And so it is good to tell them things. And I think with another teacher, they perceived something was a little more serious. And I do think they spoke into it. It was just a very hard situation. So anyways, all right, unreasonable parent who needed or needs affirmation. I was in a situation once where the school situation was toxic, not the teachers, not really the students. There had just been controversy for years surrounding the school and its goings-ons. Anyways, and I was getting all this information and all these suggestions and criticisms. And at that point in my life, I really felt like, well, I still do, like I was doing what was right. We were asked to teach. We had our structure. And we wanted to keep our students safe. And so it was just so every time these people would come up to me, I'd say, this is why I'm doing this, and we're going to do this. And so a guy that was actually one of those people, in a lucid moment, said, you know what these people want? And I was like, no, I have no idea, actually. And he said, they just want you to hear them out. So, Jeff, when you hear them ranting on you and things that happen all these years and this and that, you want to defend it because maybe it really is wrong and you're right. I was right. Anyways, he said, just listen. And so, say, okay, I hear you. That's absolutely brilliant. Some of you are truth people. I mean, I know you all want to do the truth, but some people are so truth. It's like you can't hear a mistake or you've got to correct it. And I was kind of there, and I felt like they needed it. But you know what? The thing works. There are some people that just need to be heard out. I've learned in... Lots of y'all have been my students that are in here, or a number of you, school and out of school. And sometimes there's just the person that has to say things about every 20 minutes in a choir rehearsal. And I've learned, I didn't make this up, just to say, oh, that's a good point. I see the validity of that. And then move on, and they're okay. Instead of saying, you're not right, or I'm not going to use it, or yeah, we'll do that. And so I'm not making light of it. I just do think some people need to say, I hear what you're saying, and not it's wrong or it's right. Do y'all hear me? And so, and if they keep pushing, but you know what? The guy was right. They just wanted to hear themselves talk and somebody to say like, okay, you're right. So that's a blessing. Parents who hate education. Have you ever had any of those? Why do I need to go to school? Or why does my child need to go to school past this grade or past this grade or past this grade? Do you know what usually the end of that statement is? It really is. It's not going to help them make more money. And that's kind of a hard one for me. In my background growing up, non-Mennonite, we did a lot of things for passion because we love them. And if it made a lot of money, that's awesome. If you became famous and made a lot of money, I guess that's awesome. And there were some people who wanted to be in business, and they would. We just did things for passion. So that one is still a little weird for me to hear. And so... I mean, we have these complicated answers. I do think it's going to help you study the Bible more. It's just going to help you analyze things. I had a student once, he said, Mr. Swanson, I think he was in trigonometry. Why do I have to, it was in like a ACE CLP school with the little paces or whatever. And he called me up and he said, Mr. Swanson, why do I have to be taking these advanced math classes? And I was like, and he said, you know what? This is going to help me study the Bible. And I was like, bingo. You know, you're going to be able to analyze God's word. And he became a Bible translator. And so sometimes I get it. This is my answer, really. Maybe you wouldn't always want to say this, but if making money is your definition of success in life, then no, school doesn't help. And so often they're just like, I got this much and I'm making more than you, Jeff. I'm like, how many times? That wasn't just Mennonites. That was back a long time ago with Dina. Her student said, hey, I went and sold a bull this weekend, and I made much money than you're going to make all this next year. And Miss Swanson or Miss Forrester, she's like, well, that was bold. So anyways, I do think if you think it's appropriate, it's a good answer. So again, if making money is your definition of success, then maybe school won't help, actually. So anyways, and I also wouldn't contend with those people. The logic, the brain cells, which is true, the growing of the mind, the analyzing the Bible, they're usually like, more money, more money, more money. And I love farmers. It's great. I respect that so much. And people that can like think up a business that doesn't make any sense and then make that rich and then sell that one. I mean, I just can't make money. So, and I'm so glad to be a teacher, though. I just love it. I absolutely love it. So anyways, my children are perfect. That's hard. Especially if they're naughty students. It's frustrating for the people who want their children to be perfect, and they do get good grades and whatever. Sometimes with these parents, it's good to show facts if you don't think it's going to start World War III. I had a girl once, a long time ago, and she would write notes to us. Her dad had a big business that was doing okay. He wanted to make money, and he worked all the time. His daughter started changing her values from what her parents had and started getting into some things that we knew weren't right. The students would write notes in this school and we'd find them. I'm just saying, can you be more secretive? Anyways, so she would write notes about how much she missed her dad being around. And we found out about this and I just said to the dad, your daughter wants you. Her heart is yours. Still, she just needs dad. And he said, okay, that makes sense. I asked him a while back, was I out of my business or out of my wherever I should have been? I don't know. But he said, no, I never really connected with her. And her values majorly changed, and her life choices are far beyond Anabaptist life choices. So again, I tried. You know, he just would say, it's not true to, those things aren't true that you're hearing or whatever. So is that what affected it? I don't know. Big time not. But Another one, well, we'll just go into the next one. Parents that violate your boundaries, the school board should handle this. Parents that are calling you and that hate you, they're hazing you, that really needs to be dealt with by the school board. It happens occasionally if a parent gets offended by a teacher, and it's constant. Nobody deserves that. If a teacher is really doing something wrong, the school board should gently say, this is what we're hearing. Is it true? You know, and usually if something comes up like that, we did do something a little bit or much, I feel like the school board should really stand behind the parents, the teachers, and say, you know, you can't call them every day. One day, Dean and I were on Oasis rehearsals. It was kind of a date for us. We got to sing together and be together at night, you know, and this guy found out that his student that never, like, would finish assignments didn't get on the honor roll, so didn't get to go to the honor roll party, emailed us. I know, just don't look at the emails, Jeff. We're too OCD for that. Anyways, emailed us, and it was just too much. And they're like, you know what? I'm not really defending him. I'm like, why do you keep emailing? And that's just a boundary. So we have a perfect child that never does their assignments. That's not perfect. Anyways, and the dad is just hazing us so much. So I think boundaries are good, and I think some of these things are better than saying, back off right now, I was ready to. And the school board just stepping in and saying, you need to be careful, these are our teachers. Yeah, at least talk to them during school hours. So anyways. All right, we talked about this a little bit with the White Sox. I had a family once that I taught, and the grandfather hated authority, and his 50-year-old son hated authority, and the children hated authority. I don't exactly know how to deal with this, because that is so toxic. I hope that y'all love your churches. I really do. And I hope you love your ministry. Do any of you have a perfect ministry? Nope, you just don't. All right, I hope you love your ministry. They're gonna make mistakes. It's toxic when things go like that, and it's passed down. And it's hard to deal with those situations because you cannot say your parents are bad and don't do what they do. You know, you can encourage whatever. So I don't have an answer for all these things. I just think it's interesting to hear stories and you're like, yeah, I see that I'm not the only one. So. All right on time, y'all. All right, teachers, million-dollar suggestions how to fix all your teacher colleagues. I don't have any. That's really hard. You have to work with them. That's why I put weight there. See, you thought I was going to have suggestions. I don't. I think some of this, well, I'll tell you which ones I am. So power-hungry Gentile leadership. I'm a big servant leader. Proponent, is that the right word? Anyways, I think it's so good. You remember Uriah the Hittite? That's one of the best guys in the whole Bible. David sins, okay, with Uriah's wife, and David tries to pin the blame on Uriah, and he says, come home and go spend the night, you know, in your place. He wakes up in the morning, and Uriah's outside. He's like, what's the matter? I brought you home from war. Why don't you go up there? And he's like, I'm not going to do that. My people are out there fighting, and the Ark of God's out there, and you want me to spend the night in comfort? And so night number two, let's try it again. He gets him drunk, and comes out the next morning, what are you doing? God's people are out there, and the Ark's out there. So I'm not going to go. That's servant leadership. That's awesome. And so I just think sometimes we can feel like we're in charge of stuff, and it feels good. It wasn't mentioned this morning. It's why do you teach? Because you love your students, which I do, and you love the subject matter, which I do. And I think some people like to be in charge of stuff. You've seen it, and it can be a little dangerous. And, you know, park your cars at the back of the parking lot. You ever think of that? Make sure on hot lunch day that you go last. Just do it. The students see that. It might take a while. And don't say, I'm doing this to have a sacrifice. You know, just say, y'all go, you know? See what you can do to serve. I remember there was a school that I didn't teach at, and we'd have these basketball tournaments all the time, and the principal of the said school, this was a few years back, I think he spent the entire weekend of tournaments replacing the paper towels in the bathroom the entire time. I just remember thinking, and I think he was the school janitor too, and it was a big school, and that just blessed me. Every time I see this guy, he's in the bathroom making it right. You know, that's awesome. So no matter how your authorities are, your colleagues, power-hungry people are hard, okay? I think part of all of us would kind of like to be in charge of everything. respect your authorities. It can be hard sometimes. I think sometimes power-hungry people, something hurt them maybe in life and they want respect. It's okay to show respect to people that don't deserve respect. It works better. Trust me, I know. It works better than being like, I ain't showing you respect, buddy. All right. I could have that tendency to be a little bit like that. And if teacher things are hard, because you might be teaching for the rest of your life together and in church the rest of your life, the direct communication, if you have the good enough relationship and it can come across without making you hate each other, which is bad, for the next year, which it really shouldn't, we should be quite direct, then just say, this is the way you're coming across. I'm not saying this is what you think. Remember, you're not allowed to say that. All right. The cool teacher. When I was in my 30s, I think I thought I was cooler, and the students kind of actually responded, I know, look at me now, what a dork, okay? But I've just felt like I was kind of cool. I was in that 20s, 30s age where you think that you're very relevant and you can relate well to students. I've noticed oftentimes that people that say that when they're in 20s and 30s, it's not going as well as they think. They just feel cool because they say things like, well, I'm closer to the students' age than the parents and this and that. One time my children came home and said, we had a sermon by a visiting speaker, and he told us all the apps that he had and social media that he had, and he said, I'm just like y'all. My children were not impressed. So anyways, so I was kind of there once. So direct communication. So I just think this is stupid, but I hate wearing belts. I should wear suspenders. Anyways, and so I would wear these like Asian jackets. I just thought they're great. It was like a kung fu jacket. And so I would wear them because it would go way down to here and you would button them up and it kind of had like a plain suit collar. You know what I'm talking about? I thought they were kind of cool. I know it sounds dorky to y'all. And so I wore one once to a Christmas program. I got a red one for Christmas. And I said, look at me. I honestly said this. I said, I bet you didn't know I had a red kung fu jacket. I'm talking about myself a lot. And an older man, he was probably 70 years old. He was a Bible teacher. I'll just say this was at the Baptist school. And he emailed me and he blasted me out of the water. And he said, I came here to hear the children sing and to hear about the birth of Christ. And you're talking about yourself. And I defended it. I didn't to him. I just thought about it for a long time. And I think I kind of got it, but I'm sure by the time we had become Anabaptists, I just remember thinking, he's right. I'm so glad he said that. And he wasn't diplomatic at all about it. And, you know, I thought I was so cute, so relating to everybody and whatever. And you know what? That was awesome. That was awesome that he said that. One of the students told me a long time ago that he thought his wife actually covered her head. But anyways, so if you can do it in a way that's not going to ruin anybody's life or whatever, we need to say those things. You know, we have teachers that come young and they just kind of own the I'm still cool thing or I'm cool. It's okay to be sort of relevant, but that doesn't need to be your mindset and you're not relating as well as you think. So anyways, yeah, I did that. The control others teachers. your administrator is there to direct everything and to control the situations, as is your school board. Sometimes there's just a teacher, I just think, that wishes that they were in control of everything and they were the principal and the admin. In my experience, it's usually a lady teacher, actually. And it's horrible because they'll start assigning you teaching positions and things that you're supposed to be doing. And you're like, you're doing recess duty. And you're like, well, what? You can't say that. But you don't do it. I think they need to be reminded that we all have our wonderful place. I'm so glad to be at my schools and be the music teacher. You know, I don't get near as many homeroom gifts as everybody else, and often forgotten in graduation speeches because I wasn't like their main teacher. I love what I do, and I'm so happy in my part of this big scheme. So I think it's okay to sometimes gently remind people, that's really not in your place, and I think you're offending some people by doing it. Out of the ceiling confidence. Some people, I have like this serious confidence and then this serious OCD 5 minutes, right? That's not where you came. All right. And I have this serious, like I'm really confident in what I do, and this OCD that nags at me that you're probably wrong. And so I can be confident with what I do, but it's not out the ceiling, because then when I stop, I'm like, I shouldn't have said that or that. Anyways, some people exist with the highest confidence in the world. Again, I don't think they realize how they're coming across. And I think that's a good relational one to say, it seems like you're talking down to us all the time. You know, could you deal with this? There's a thing about Christian memes. I'm just opening up a can of worms. A few years back, and it got so negative, they started coming down on one of my personal Anabaptist heroes publicly. And so they publicly had a whatever it is meeting on YouTube and videoed it. And one of the people said, who was also another Anabaptist hero, is that okay to say that? I think it is. Told these people, they said, you need to cool it with these memes. You're young and you're talking about people and teasing people that have so much more experience than you. You need to grow up and accept authority of others. Was it direct? Yeah, but it needed to happen. So, be sweet to these people. They feel as though they are always underrated. Have you ever met somebody that you felt like they never got the promotion that they deserved? And maybe it's happened for like 30 years. They wish they were here or here. And they often will get like smaller positions, but not the one they wanted. And it's just, there's a just sense of kind of hurt by it, but it can come across as kind of negative. I'm going to talk about those, dealing with people like that, which is a wonderful way to end it, actually, and how to bless them. Anyways, The Wizard of Oz, Emperor's New Clothes, I encourage you just to read that. There are some people that have the ability to make everybody think they're great in the most ridiculous ways, and then everybody says they're great because everybody said that they thought they were great, but nobody actually ever knows what happened to start that. Do you know what The Emperor's New Clothes is? Have you all read that? It's fascinating. It's for real. People can do that. So, all right. I recommend this book, Non-Christian, Non-Anabaptist, which is kind of redundant, obviously. How to Win Friends and Influence People. It is the most biblically based, amazing book about relating to people that I think I've ever read. It's absolutely phenomenal. One of the premises of the book is, if you want to win somebody's confidence, ask them to help you. We tend to not want to ask people that are overconfident or Gentile leadership for help for anything. We don't want to give them any credibility. I've noticed in my own life, if somebody will come up to me and ask me to help them, especially if I thought they hated me, the whole thing changes. So just think about it. People love to be a blessing. I mean, if you ask them to come, like, roof your house for free, okay, not that. You know what I'm saying? But on small things, if you think there's something between you and somebody else, but you've never had an altercation, ask them to help you with something. It's actually more effective than asking you if you can help them. So think about it. When people criticize you, help them out. Don't try to back them off. Like I said, when those people kept coming to me with negative things, they just wanted me to hear them out. You know, if people say, hey, Jeff, you're short, I'll be like, I am. And usually they're like, oh. And they walk off. It stops. So when people criticize you, especially if you've done something wrong, start off by apologizing and saying, you know, what an idiot you are. So I was in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and I pulled out of a gas station. I went left, and you weren't allowed to go left, and I got stopped immediately. And the cop came over, and you know what cops are used to? What are you going to give me a ticket for? I'm from out of town. Are you really going to give me a ticket? So he came over, and I said, I wasn't supposed to turn left, was I? And he said, no. And I said, idiot. And he said, you know what? And I said, that's stupid. I broke the law, didn't I? And he said, you know what, sir? I mean, you're from out of town. And I said, no. I said, that was a stupid thing to do, and I'm not supposed to. I deserve a ticket. And he's like, you know what, sir? Everything's okay. You're from out of town, and it's not that big a deal. And I just went, idiot, stupid. And so he said, I tried it on him. And it worked. It was awesome. But, you know, people go into these things expecting a fight. It does work. You know, you did this. You know you did it. Say, that was a really foolish thing to do. I did that, and I'm sorry. What else are people going to say? We tend to get criticized, and then we want to say, you did this. Actually, that's bad logic. You're never supposed to use that. So it sounds funny. Both of these things do, but it really helps with relations of all kinds. The last one is, be a sparkling example of positivity. Sometimes our jobs are hard. Sometimes they feel thankless. And sometimes you have these naughty people. Try to be a blessing. I really do try to think. See how many students. I have 280 students, all right? And I do try to memorize all their names, correctly and see how many of them I can be a blessing to. It's a lot easier to bless K through 8 students than it is for high schoolers, because they don't know what to say if you say something nice to them. But I sure try, because I want to be the one that made that day good and they remember something that was said. I had a student, big old guy. I mean, he was big, and I met him the first day. I taught at Cherry Hill, and again, I like shoes and I like Vans, and I said, I like your Vans. Those are good shoes. He told me months or years later, a year later, he says, that was the first day you were there, and he said, you made me feel high as a kite. This is a 6 foot tall 16-year-old. You know what? Isn't that sort of what we're here to do? So I hope that this can be a blessing. It doesn't give you solutions, at least it lets you know we all deal with this. Be kind to people. They are your species. Okay? All right, y'all are dismissed. Have a lovely day.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at christianlearning.org or call 814-789-4769. Many Faith Builders recordings are also available on the Dock for Learning at thedockforlearning.org.